Galatians chapter 3, verse 23-4, verse 7. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Our Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And we ask you to help each one of us to understand more fully what we have in him. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, please do have Galatians 3 open in front of you. It's there on page 1170 of the Church Bibles if you want to turn back to that. And as we begin to think about what is written here, I just want to ask a simple question. That is, what is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a person? What is the greatest thing? If you do some digging around, and I went looking on the internet to see the lists that people make, it is very interesting. I suspect they are fairly typical. The greatest thing that can ever happen is you get your dream job. Your business is a success. To win at a high level in sport. The other best things, you like someone and they like you. Being a parent, enjoying good physical and mental health, the dream holiday. It is actually interesting when you begin to see what people are kind of longing for and think will be wonderful. It's often to do with relationships, for joy, for security, for fulfillment. What is, though, the greatest thing that can happen to us in life? Well, I'd like to put before you something this evening which I think beats them all. Something that is the most wonderful and joyful thing that can ever happen. It leads to heart-bursting joy and satisfaction and security. I'd like to suggest this evening that the greatest thing that can ever happen, the most wonderful thing, is that we come into God's family and become a child of God. To be an adopted child of God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to anyone. Just let me read to you the verses again at the there in our passage. I want just to read verse 26 and 27 to you, which I'm going to be focusing on this evening. Writing to the believers, he says this in 3:26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. this section of this letter which Paul is writing to the Galatians, which were a series of churches in what is now modern day Turkey, this section of the letter, you can see from the little heading, is about being children of God. But why is it so brilliant to be a child of God? What is so wonderful about being his child? Well, let me just share a number of things which I think are here in this passage and are in the rest of this letter. The very nature of the description, child of God, teaches us that we come into a close relationship with God. If you look down at chapter 4, verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We are sons, we are children of a Father, God the Father. We pray to him, we know him through Christ. He loves us. The perfect, powerful Father is now our Father. We're in a secure relationship. Now, I'm aware, of course, that fathers often get bad press these days. And it may be that you did not have a good relationship with your father. Maybe you had no relationship with a father. And, of course, even the best of fathers, as we all know, are often imperfect. But even best of them, yes, fail. But I think that most people do, in one sense, know that to have a good father is a good thing. There is a sense in which we are yearning for a good father. And to have a good human father is a great thing. And it kind of actually just points to the reality and the wonder of having God as our Father. God the Father, who is perfect in love, in power, perfect in wisdom, in generosity, a Father who is compassionate, a Father who teaches, and whose discipline is only ever loving and for our goods. The greatest privilege, I think, is to be able to call God Father, to have that relationship with the true and living God. He to be Father to us. Why else is it wonderful to be a child, a son of God, to be a child of this great, our great God? Well, of course, because in him and in that relationship, we are promised a wonderful future. We've already been singing about that in a number of our songs. You see, we will all recognize a description that Paul gives here of our world. He describes our world as the present evil age. Now, of course, there is so much that is wonderful and beautiful in our world, so much that there is there to enjoy. But we know as well that our world is marred by suffering and evil. Murders, the awful killing spree in New Zealand. Disease, death, evil, abuse, assault, corruption, injustice. The present evil age, as Paul says. And the promise is that those who are God's children will be rescued from this present evil age and will receive a future inheritance. Paul in this letter speaks of eternal life, of a future inheritance, a kingdom that is coming in the future where we will enjoy God's. Where there'll be no more sin, as we've just been singing, no pain, no death, no mourning. God's children will be brought safely home. I hope you can see that there's nothing more wonderful in this world than being a child of God, of having God as your Father. Being able to call out to a Father who loves perfectly, powerfully, generously, compassionately, wisely. And then to have in him a wonderful future promised to us, which will be delivered one day. Can you think of anything better than that? But the question then comes, doesn't it? How does a person get adopted into God's family? How do we become a child of God? We do not start as children of God. Yes, we are all God's creatures. We're all God's image bearers in some way. But how do we come into the family? How does that work? Well, let me read the verses again, which tell us so clearly. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, who are the children of God? Who are the ones that can cry out, Father? It is those who are in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all to do with Jesus, who of course is God's special saving King. And you notice three things here, which are kind of describe our relationship with Jesus. The sort of relationship with Jesus that brings us into this relationship with God the Father. And I want to look at the three words, I want to look at the three ideas very quickly with you. The way that we come into the relationship and become a child of God. It is to do with faith in Christ, verse 26. It is to do with being baptized into Christ in verse 27. And it is to do with being clothed with Christ. Faith in Christ, baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ. That's how we come and have this relationship where we become children of God. Let me say a few things about faith in Christ. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. We enter into relationship through faith in Christ. Let me just take a step back and explain that for a moment. The problem that Paul was addressing in writing this letter was to believers, to Christians, who were thinking about going back under God's law, Old Testament law. By which he means that they were going back and thinking in order to be saved, they had to keep the law. And he's warning them off that. And you see, fundamentally, people assume that the way into a right relationship with God is by being good, by keeping his commandments. I think people see a relationship with God a little bit like a pension fund, like a pension pot. You know what pension pots are. If you don't, well, you will soon enough. Each month you try and put a little bit aside that goes into your pension pot, with the hope that when you reach 65, 66, 67, by the age some of you, it will be 95, 96, 97, as the government push you back. But you hope that when you get to that retirement age, there is enough in your pension pot for you to be able to live. It's a simple principle. You can actually identify how much is in the pot, and you can do your calculation. I think many people see the Christian life and eternal life rather like a pension pot. Each day, each month, I try and do a little bit of good. And that sort of goes into my spiritual pot. I can't actually see how much I've got in there, but I'm slightly hoping that on the last day, there'll be enough little good things in my pot, which God will say, yep, you've got enough there, life. Now, of course, it's not a great system because we don't know how much we've got in our pot, but it's the obvious system which most people believe. I'll do good, I'll try and be good in various sorts of little ways, and I'll build up the good pot, and that will get me in. That is trying to do God's and bring into relationship with God by works, by being good. Actually, the way that works and brings salvation is by faith. Faith says, actually, my debt is terrible and is getting worse every day. Actually, the debt is getting worse, and the list of my sins is getting longer and longer, and they are going to keep me out. I cannot offset that in any way by trying simply to be good in some hope, hoping it balances out. My situation is hopeless, and faith says, I now see that Jesus Christ is the solution to my debt problem, to my sin problem with God. And for those of you who may be not familiar with the facts, just remind me of the fundamental issues, of the fundamental truths of the good news. God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus, sent by God the Father, came into this world. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, as we learn in these verses. He came and he lived perfectly. He lived under the law and he kept the law. He demonstrated who he was by his amazing miracles, which you can read about in any of the Gospels. Perfectly innocent and having lived a perfect life, he gave himself over to death on a cross. And on that cross, he was taking our penalty. As ever in these shootings which we've seen in New Zealand, you will have people putting themselves in the way of bullets for the sake of others. And so Christ put himself in the way of the judgment and condemnation that our sin deserved. Wonderfully, he was raised again 3 days later from the dead and is now at God's right hand. And we get into the right relationship with God through faith, by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. Not by trying to be good, not by trying to earn it. We simply put our faith in him and say, you, Jesus Christ, are the solution, and I trust you as a solution for eternal life. And I just want to say to those being baptized, to Alessandra, to Rory, to Carmen, Rosie, and Daniel, don't ever think you can be saved by your works. You have come in by faith, and you stay in by faith. Don't despair when you are not as good as you think you should be. Your salvation does not depend on your good works. It depends today and will always depend on what Jesus Christ has done for you in his death and resurrection. So we see that we come into this relationship. We become children of God through faith in Christ. A second idea here in these verses is that we are baptized into Christ. Faith and baptism, by the way, go together. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ are to be baptized. And the interesting phrase here is baptized into Christ. Those who are being baptized, it's a sign of symbolizing what's happened. They are being joined with Christ. They are coming into him. There is union with Christ. From time to time, of course, here we have marriages here at Spicer Street. And what we're having there, of course, is a union. Husband and a wife are coming together. They are being united. They form a couple together. There's a new identity. They are together, united, maybe even joined in a surname. But there's a unity, a uniting that happens, and their lives belong together. What's his is hers, what's hers is his. And so on baptism, it's symbolizing we are united to Christ, and that gives us a new identity, a new start, a new power, united to him. And of course, that means that what is his becomes mine. Wonderfully, what is mine has become his in my sin, which he took and dealt with on the cross. And so the third idea here, which if you can see they're all connected, faith in Christ, baptized into Christ, we're united with Christ in our baptism, in his death and resurrection. And thirdly, we are clothed in Christ when we put our faith in Jesus. Clothed in Christ. The Bible gives us a number of pictures to understand our state, to understand what we are like when before we have Christ. It speaks of us as being unclean. The Bible speaks of us of having filthy rags. It speaks of us being naked. They're all ideas around clothing very often. Rags, naked, exposed. And in baptism, in coming to Christ, in putting our faith in Him, in being united with Him, we are clothed in Christ. We love to actually sing of this in one of the songs which makes it regularly into a life here at Spicer Street. Just let me read it to you. It's very familiar to a lot of you. If you're new to us, I hope you can just feel the power in these words. It's a song called Rock of Ages. It reflects on many of the truths that we've been reflecting on here. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill your law's demands. It speaks of the fact that we can't keep God's commands. We can't win our salvation. And then it says this, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress. Naked come to you for dress. You see, that nakedness that is referring to really to our shame and to our sin. We have done things wrong and we want to hide. You know, many people feel a deep shame at things they've done. And we have very often much to be ashamed of. And when we look at our lives in the light of God's words, and the light of God's standards, that shame and that sense of the wrongdoing just increases. But in Christ, it is washed away. Baptism sings like cleansing, and then we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ. His righteousness, His right life, the life He lived for us, becomes ours. And we get Him around us. Children can get filthy, can't they? If you've got that 2 or 3 year old at the moment, and maybe through the winter, you've let them out. And they've really gone for it. I was one of 5 boys. We were pretty spectacular in the amount of dirt and where we could get it. And you're just covered in it. Maybe your child has just been out and is absolutely filthy everywhere. And they come into your lovely, clean house. What do? You do not pull them in and begin to cuddle them quite yet. You clean them. You wash them and you give them a new set of clothes so that you can hold them close. And that's what God does with us. In Christ, He cleanses us. He gives us a new set of clothes that He can hold us close as a loving Father. You see, those who are being baptized, it is just fantastic. They have the most precious thing. They are children of God, and they can call God Father. They have a wonderful future. They have put their faith in Christ. being baptized into Christ, and they are clothed with Christ. I want to say again to those five, never think that your works save you. It is what Christ has done for you. Oh yes, you are to go and serve him, live for him, be transformed by his Spirit. You are not to indulge the flesh. Because of who you are to live in a new way by the Spirit. And I want to encourage you tonight never to lose your sense of privilege, of wonder that you can call God Father. Never lose a sense of the wonder that you have been united to Christ, clothed in Christ, that you are in Christ, and because you're in him, you have that relationship with the Father. And maybe you are listening in as someone who has believed this already. Again, I just want to encourage you to rejoice in this. Rejoice in the fact that you have such a wonderful Father. You can call God Father. But let me speak as well to anyone who is not yet a child of God's. Do you want to become a child? Do you want to come into this relationship with the true and living God? Do you want this salvation that is found in Jesus Christ? Wonderfully, it is open to all. Open to all. It is striking the way that Paul goes on to say, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He's speaking here of the believers, but he's reminding them that it does not matter where you come from. There's no Jew or Gentile. It does not matter on your ethnic background. Neither slave nor free. It does not matter what your social status is. Neither male nor female. It does not matter what gender you are. This salvation is open to you. And for those that embrace Christ and trust in Christ, we are all one in Christ. It is wonderful. It does not matter on backgrounds. We all stand in the same place, children of God. It's open to you. You're welcome. And today is the right day to say, Jesus, I want your salvation. Please cleanse me and give me new life. Please, by your Spirit, transform me. Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to enjoy the greatest gift and the most amazing privilege that anyone can ever have? Well, accept that you cannot save yourself by doing good, and ask Jesus to forgive you and to give you new life. Ask him to do that. Cry out to him now, and he has promised that he will. Let's just take a few moments of quiet. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. We thank you that you are the great sending God. You sent your Son. And we thank you for your great work of sending the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Pray, would you give us again a fresh sense of privilege? We particularly pray for those being baptized, that they would have this tonight. And for any who have not yet been baptized into Christ and put their trust in him, may you grant them that grace. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing of the relationship that we have with God and wonder again and marvel again at what God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And can it be? Thank you.